One technique to train yourself on how to think about over-unity, how to conceptualize it and understand what you're dealing with, is to teach yourself the lesson of what I call a reactive pump, in which you learn how to drain your voltage source at a ridiculous rate so fast that it overcomes any resistance. In fact, resistance does not get in your way. It actually accelerates the drainage of your source. And this is how you do it. You create multiple shorts in a transformer situation, and you don't limit yourself to an LC concept. That is frequently taught, in which you only have one inductor and one capacitor. That's nice when you want to conceptualize it, but when it comes to doing free energy circuits, everything comes in pairs usually. And so on your transformer, you have a step down, step up transformer situation in which you short out both sides to each other, and then you create a pair of coils on either side. So a pair of very large coils on one side and a pair of very small coils on the other side. And the pair of large coils are wound with standard wire, but the pair of small coils are very stout, solid core wire to reduce resistance on that side. And each pair of coils are shorted to each other. So you've got all these multiple shorts. Now, the ridiculous thing that happens is that on the large side of the transformer that's the large pair of coils, you are discouraging the flow of current. Sorry. We're just going to have a lot of distractions, annoyingly, in the middle of this podcast. Where was I? So you're not going to have any current flowing on the large, to speak of, flowing on the large, through the large coils, but that's okay. You're going to be building up voltage. Now, on the other side of the transformer, you're going to have very small coils. The inductance is so small, so the inductive impedance is small, and the resistance is small because you're using very stout, solid core wire. And so there you're going to encourage current because it's going to be a short to itself that will encourage current within itself. Now, that's okay. It doesn't have to go elsewhere. Certainly not going to go to the other side, even though you've shorted the two sides to each other, because the other side is going to impede. It's going to resist the flow of current. But that's okay, because you've magnetically coupled the two sides to each other. And so your magnetic field shared between them is going to make up for the lack of impedance. There's no impedance to magnetic coupling unless, of course, you've got a big disparity between the large pair of coils and the small pair. But that actually can work to your advantage, because in many of these reactive pump situations, you want to decrease magnetic coupling and you want to increase, conversely, the consequence is the capacitance, the mutual capacitance. So that now this is why shorting out the two sides of the transformer with a capacitor rather than with a piece of wire can be advantageous, because now you're encouraging an additional capacitive coupling between the two sides of the transformer, in addition to the fact that there's a big disparity you've built into the system of magnetic coupling, because you've got such humongous size coils on one side of the transformer and a teensy-weensy inductance on the opposite side, among those pair of coils. In any case, however it's done, it doesn't matter, because what you will have accomplished is not over unity, but a step halfway in that direction. And you will have taught yourself an important principle, because what this thing will do is it's going to drain your voltage source at a ridiculous rate. And so much so, it'll supersede any other technique you might have used to drain a voltage source, such as, you know, connecting the two terminals of a voltage source with a very stout solid core copper wire. You might think, oh, how smart you are in using that technique, when in fact it has its limitation. That technique has its limitations, in which it's a linear, or it's a fixed rate at which you drain the voltage source. So let's say the voltage source is infinite, and it's not limited by physicality. Let's say the voltage source is very, very, very large. The rate at which you drain it with a stout piece of copper wire is fixed, limited to the piece of wire. But the situation you've created with this transformer situation that I've described escalates ad infinitum. It, without limit, it just keeps increasing the rate of drainage. So it accelerates the rate of drainage. And that may not seem practical, and it certainly is not lucrative, and it certainly is self-destructive to whatever physicality you utilize to build this situation, but it'll teach you an important lesson, because you will see how powerful inductive impedance can be, and capacitive impedance to a limited degree as a consequence of the inductances. Because, you know, every coil always has capacitance. Every capacitor always has inductance. It's just one thing is emphasized at the expense of the other. And so you get both all the time, but you get mostly one and not so much of the other. And so we call it a coil with inductive qualities only because that's the quality that dominates over the capacitive quality of a coil. That's not to say capacitance is not in a coil or that inductance is not in a capacitor. It's just shrunken down and dominated to such a subordinate value that we don't even pay attention to it. But it's not to say it's not there. But in any case, you've created a condition that literally accelerates the rate of drainage of your voltage source. And this is a step halfway in the direction of learning about overunity, because one of the things to task yourself in studying overunity is to understand that more often than not, all you end up doing with an overunity circuit is blow it up, even though it didn't cost you. Even though it didn't cost you anything, because it's overunity. But in this situation that I've described, it's not over unity, but it does blow up. It does accelerate its power. If your source is infinite, it will. And even if it's not infinite, within the fraction of duration that the circuit maintains its physicality, it will be accelerating. You just may not appreciate it because it'll be so short-lived. But it's there. And under simulation, it's very easy to see that it's there because nothing blows up, and the voltage source is infinite, and you see the thing getting drained like crazy. So the rate of drainage of the voltage source is still greater than the energy passing through the transformer, this weird transformer. So it still shows that entropy is ruling such a circuit. But we're beginning to unravel the conservation of energy, because we start to see that a circuit can make humongous demands on the source. and so much so that it accelerates to infinite oblivion. If allowed to do so, it'll go to infinity to drain the source, if allowed to do so. If the source doesn't become destroyed or drained, or both. And this is an important concept because we've learned how to create an electrical explosion, the electrical equivalent of a chemical explosion. But worse than an explosion because, well, not worse, because even in a chain reaction style explosion, it can get worse in theory if we had infinite chemistry, chemical material with which to explode. It would chain react in such a manner similar to a viral replication and thus accelerate. So it's very similar. And it's an important concept to learn because that's essentially what free energy amounts to, is encouraging electrical explosions. Later on, we can learn how to regulate it, but initially, you just have to get the damn thing to explode and not shy away from that prospect, because that's the goal, is the first baby step. But before you even go there to be over unity about it, you have to learn how to be under unity about it in order to get a feel for it, to see that it's possible. Because what you've done is you've created an impedance pump. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Not a reactive pump, but an impedance pump. In which impedance is no longer impedance. It's no longer a headwind, it's a tailwind. And this is an extremely important concept to get through your head, that impedance does not have to be positive impedance all the time. Sometimes you can encourage it to be negative impedance, creating a mindset that will be more open and receptive to the concept of negative entropy. And that's when you get over unity, is when you get negative entropy. But before you get to negative entropy, you first have to understand negative impedance, how it can be a tailwind, how it can literally accelerate the flow of power rather than getting in the way. And most people are programmed to think there's only one type of impedance and the other type is, you know, a fiction, it's a fantasy. This is not true. It's just that people are brainwashed to think that way. Impedance could be anything you want it to be. It can get in your way or it can help you along. And it's really up to you to make it which way it will go, provided you know how. And so you have to do everything in pairs, minimally. After a while, it drops off. Like an Oregon blanket, it drops off how many multiple facets to each quality you get involved with. But you can't be single when you do these things, because the process requires parametric involvement, in which the field of one coil will be modifying the characteristic impedance of the field of the other coil. So your components are rock solid. They're physical entities that don't change their inductive parameter. But the magnetic field of one can and will influence the magnetic field of the other, especially when they're in pairs. I mean, only if they're in pairs, or more, two or more. And it's the field that matters, because the field can change while the components cannot. And once you get a situation in which you can change the fields, now you've changed the reactive parameters of the circuit over time. They're no longer standard non-variance. And when you start doing that, you start getting energy. You can pump it up, or you can do the opposite. You can pump it down. This is the dynamic quality of parametric variation, is that you, by modifying the field over time, you modify the outcome. But you can't do that if you have a single coil or a single capacitor. You can't do that. That's what standard engineering teaches and doesn't teach you anything else. It doesn't teach you the importance of fields, dielectric field, magnetic field. It doesn't teach you that. They just teach you what goes through the component, not the field that the component generates, surrounding itself and within itself, inside and outside. The field is all-encompassing, spatially speaking. Yeah, it drops off over distance, but the point is, it's malleable. You can change it over time. And that's the other missing ingredient to free energy circuits, is the fact that they are parametric. And I don't think there's any way around it. I don't think you can get a free energy circuit that is not parametric. It has to be parametric. There's no other way to pump it up. So it's kind of like playing tennis. You play alone against your opponent, or you can team up. A pair of players on one side of the court and another pair of players on the other side of the court. It's more fun that way. And especially if you work as a team. And this is really the way to look at it. Pairs of capacitances, pairs of inductances. And you're going to get the pair of capacitances in this situation anyway, as a consequence of having paired coils that are magnetically coupled, and there's going to be capacitive coupling along with the magnetic. It's always there. It's just a question of whether or not we accentuate or how do we utilize capacitive coupling in a magnetic coupling situation as a consequence to magnetic coupling. Now, I didn't mention something else you can do on the large pair of coils side of this weird transformer. You can increase your impedance by either putting a capacitor in series outside the pair of large coils, as in series with, or let's say you use a I already mentioned it actually. When you short out the two sides of the transformer with a piece of wire, if you put a capacitor in there, you could add a resistor in addition to a capacitor, and the two of them be in series with each other, shorting out the two sides of the transformer. Now you've increased the impedance on the large side. Is not on the large side, obviously, but it's you can consider it to be grouped with it, because it's impeding, but in a different fashion, but adding to the impedance of the two large coils. So you want to get this disparity between the two sides. But since you're not transmitting energy across from one side to the other, because you're shorting it anyway, you don't have to worry about inefficiencies of magnetic coupling. It's not an issue because you're electrically shorting it, the two sides. So that's a non-issue to worry about, because we're not dealing with the transformer being utilized in the traditional way of transferring energy from one side to the other. Now we're transforming the energy and in order to initiate that, we have to transform the reactants. That's our leverage. So we do parametric changes to the reactants, the electrical reactants, over time. And that's what the purpose of this style of transformer is to create parameters that change in time. Electrical reactant parameters. I think I've covered everything and thrown in a little distraction from jet planes flying overhead. But I hope you get the idea how my mind works, how I was trained. You know, it wasn't overnight, and it's not a simplistic situation. which is why it's probably easy to brainwash electrical engineers to stay away from it, because it takes skills that are different than what supports commerce. And being a technicality that's slightly, more than slightly complicated than a simple flashlight circuit, or flashlight conceptualization, or LC conceptualization for that matter, is kind of like a flashlight circuit, because it's overly simplified to be somewhat useless. I mean, it can teach you the basic principles, but it's not useful for anything, because there's no possibility for parametric variation over time. Until you get things in pairs, it's not going to happen. And until you start shorting out things, you're not going to get interesting results either. I don't know. I'm trying the best I can to teach you the principles, but they are in baby steps. And so for me to expect you to understand free energy and overunity overnight is an impossible task, because you don't see how to get there. It's you have to build yourself up to it. And it is a skill more than it is a circuit. It's a skill that you have to gain just like practicing a musical instrument. It's just something you have to practice over and over again, always with the intention of creating a free energy circuit. But whether or not you create it, it's more important that you develop the skills that are required for being able to create different variations of overunity circuits.